like to invite the following people to join me for lunch.
I think we should share an awesome blossom. What do you say? They are awesome.
Order!
Cheeseburger, please!
Get off, Napoleon. Make yourself a dang quesadilla.
And I'll have the number 8. That's a party platter. It serves 12 people. I know what I'm about, son.
This burrito is delicious, but it is filling.
Yeah, I'll have the linguine, red sauce on the side. If the sauce does not come on the side, I will send it back.
Can I take your order?
It's time for the Lunch Rush, the latest and greatest in sports news. Here's Brady Hall.
Some scary news for Bronny James, LeBron James's son, his eldest kid. He was practicing yesterday and suffered a cardiac arrest, according to a James family spokesperson. They said in a statement, medical staff was able to treat Bronny and take him to the hospital. He is now in stable condition and no longer in ICU. They're asking at this point for respect and privacy for the James family and will update media when there's more information. Oh, that's a scary deal, Angel. How similar is that to like what happened with DeMar Hamlin? I mean, I think that's where a lot of people are going with this.
Yeah, I've seen stuff about the myocarditis thing, and then the other symptom that happened to DeMar, where like if you get hit in the chest at a certain literally a perfect point where your heartbeat is synced up with the hit, it can cause a stoppage. I don't think it's exactly like that. If this is just practicing overexertion, whichever, it could just be a random heart attack.
So could that just happen to any random person then?
Yeah.
Or you don't have to have a history of anything. It can just be
heart attacks, or can just happen.
So that's basically what this is. Scary. DeMar Hamlin did tweet out about it to LeBron, and well, I don't know if he tagged anybody. Prayers to Bronny and the James family as well. Here for you guys, just like you have been here for me my entire process. Scary situation. Certainly keep you updated there, but he is stable at this point in time. Per NCAA rules, USC was granted 10 extra practice days to prepare for an exhibition tour, so that's part of why they were actually practicing. Scary. Tough situation there, and we'll keep our eyes out for it. Jaylen Brown has agreed to sign the richest deal in NBA history. A 5-year, $304 million Supermax contract extension, according to his agent, Jason Glushen, told ESPN on Tuesday.
Did he win an MVP?
He did not.
Did he win an NBA title?
He did not.
Interesting.
But he's eligible for the Supermax contract?
For what?
I thought the Supermax was for MVPs or champion or whatever. Because we always said Joker is now eligible for the Supermax, now he's MVP. This is bigger than that deal. 5-year, $304 million.
Why?
It exceeds Nikola Jokic's $276 million extension with the Nuggets, an increase based on the rise in the salary cap and league revenue. He took his physical yesterday to solidify the deal, and he ain't going anywhere. I mean, on the surface, if you're Boston, you need him if you want to be a contender. He's a big part of one of the biggest parts of what you're doing, pairing him up with Jason Tatum. But man,
what does that say to Tatum?
Whew. Better go win a title in this next 5 years, huh? So does that solidify Boston kind of being a front runner coming out of the East now for the next 5 years?
Maybe.
I mean, he's a ridiculously good player. Mm-hmm. Some would argue that he's more important than Tatum, just depending on the
game. What I'm saying, how does Tatum react to this? Well, you're going to give that guy that much money.
What's Tatum's contract? Because didn't he sign his already? So this will put him
on 5-year, $163 million.
5-year, $163, and this is double that? $304 million for Jaylen Brown. Here's a guy I thought was out of the league. New Orleans Saints are bringing back tight end Jimmy Graham. He was away from New Orleans for 8 years. Now he's back. He's 36 years old. He's a 5-time Pro Bowl selection. He signed a 1-year deal with the Saints to reunite him with the team. Is that it for Jimmy Graham, though? Is that just he's going to sign a 1-year deal, play a little bit, and then probably just retire as a Saint? 36 years old. I thought he was done.
Yeah, he kind of disappeared after he went to Seattle. And then the NFL banned his celebration. And then he left New Orleans, went to Seattle, and then kind of didn't really do much.
Well, he didn't play last year, did he?
I don't think so.
He played for the Bears at one point. He was Seattle, as you mentioned, then the Bears. He had a decent year with Russell Wilson, one of the best years Russell Wilson had with a tight end. And that's where, you know, the cool comparisons like with Sean Payton are saying, hey, we think that we got, you know, guys that could be similar to that. You know, he wants to get a tight end that can play like Jimmy Graham. And we saw 1 year at least. We always say Russell Wilson didn't utilize his depth chart that well. Or his depth chart. His tight end position on the depth chart very well. But Sean Payton believes Greg Dulcich could be the next Jimmy Graham type guy. So that could mean a big year coming up for Dulcich. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. So I'm just asking random people around here. You guys for or against the tush push? Half the people know what I'm talking about in the studios today. Half of them don't. You're out. You want it done. You want to get it out of here.
I don't mind it. I personally wouldn't have it in my playbook.
I mean, if you got a Jalen Hurts or a Josh Allen.
Even Josh Allen, I wouldn't do it.
I don't like the idea of sending smaller guys into the abyss.
Especially your quarterback. Like, you step on a hand, you know, something gets twisted. I just don't like that idea.
If you look at Jalen Hurts and how that was a part of their offense, that wasn't just like once in a while, 30-plus times, and they converted 28 times out of like 31. That was a key. They practiced that. They work on that. Now what I'm curious to see if the Eagles will now work up some formations where it's fake tush push. Mm-hmm. Fake run. Oh, pop over the top, tight end. Get something like that. But the reason I brought that up today was I'm just bringing up trends in the league. Who would have thought the idea of manipulating your offensive set in a way that as you know the quarterback's going to sneak it, you are lining up guys behind him to help push him forward. It used to be just like 10, 15 years ago, it just happened organically. You know, even 5 years ago, Dalton Reisner, when he grabbed a hold of Philip Lindsay and just like tackled him into the end zone and threw him into the end zone. I think that's, I actually talked about how that should be illegal. That shouldn't be, you're advancing the ball. You're not supposed to advance a fumble, right? You can't like kick it down the road. Well, picking up a guy and carrying him seems a little strange to me, but Dalton Reisner did it. And, you know, that play just kind of happens. The tush push was always a play that just kind of happens. Running back hits a wall at the line of scrimmage and guys get behind him and push. That to me is dangerous. And I'm not talking about head injuries. I'm talking about leg injuries. Like, what if you stick your foot down and a guy pushes one way and the other guy pushes the opposite way and then that leg collapses or something? These guys, I always worried about those like holdups at the line of scrimmage more than a lot of the big monster hits that you see. Those are when awkward things can happen.
You see linemen step on their quarterbacks all the time, or they'll step on each other. When everyone's just scrumming in the same spot and no one's really moving either direction because it's two forces against each other, then something has to break, and that might be your quarterback's body in some way.
Yeah, well, it is a worthwhile discussion to have. I'm not sure how I feel about it.
If it's absolutely necessary, you have to get this first down or you're losing the Super Bowl, sure, do it. But it wouldn't be something I'm doing in the first half of a game.
What about if it's 4th and inches, first quarter, it's 4th and goal, 4th and inches, you need an inch, you need a touchdown.
First quarter?
Yeah.
I'll take a field goal.
Mm.
Or I will put 3 running backs and do it. I don't see the point of putting a quarterback to do that.
It's just so rare to get touchdowns.
Just do a wildcat.
I mean, it's tough to get touchdowns. We talk about teams that are averaging the most points per game.
Yeah,
it's like in the 24s.
Quarterback. I say until a guy gets hurt doing this, it's going to be a trend.
Well, if Jalen Hurts get hurt doing this, then anybody can, because he's basically like a fullback and a quarter. He's a quarterback in a fullback's body. He's built like that. He's a monster. People wonder why he does the certain lifts that he does. Well,
he's a power lifter.
He's a power lifter, and he uses that at the line of scrimmage. If there's a quarterback that you want to implement this with, because pushing him is going to help, but he's also going to do a lot of the work on his own.
Would you do this with Kyler Murray?
No. I don't even know if I want to do it with Russell Wilson. But Sean Payton saying he's going to utilize it. Denver Broncos' new head coach Sean Payton said he's going to use the tush push with his quarterback Russell Wilson every game this season.
That was Russ just shuddering a bit.
Yeah, really?
Coach, you know I had a concussion last
year. I can't really cook in there. I can't do that.
When he cooks in the kitchen.
Well, I just remember when Russ went down, and I think a lot of fans kind of regathered their respect for him when he got when he took off and ran and got close to the end zone. Was it late? One of the it was in the midseason, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. When he got hit so hard, and then he, boom,
it's
like
the third part of the season.
Yeah, and that instant, you got the concussion and then an instant swelling on that side. Mm-hmm. I felt bad for him, dude. He looked out of it. He looked out. And you know, obviously missed the rest of that game, and I think fans at least talked about, hey, that's Russ, man. He's willing to go out there and take those kind of hits in a game that really doesn't mean much.
Trust me, you don't want it.
That's the.
It's fun to see your quarterback do something he's not supposed to do. There's a reason he's not supposed to do it.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't advise it for Tua.
Of course not.
I would not advise, especially with his history. I wouldn't advise, but with Russ, even the concussion last year. And
he's 30 years old, 30
plus. Is he
years
that
old?
Kind of quarterback that you want to just say, line him up, let's go?
Well, I mean, didn't he hurt his shoulder last year running the ball? Like early in the year, mm-hmm. He had that shoulder thing.
Yeah, never really got quite over that. That was probably the reason he was bad.
No, it was Hackett's fault. See, so it was all Hackett.
It was Hackett.
Keep telling yourself it's all Hackett.
It was all Hackett. You know, I've thought about this a lot, and
it was all Hackett. It was all Jerry.
It's
all George.
Bring something up in the 1 o'clock hour because I've had kind of an epiphany about this upcoming season. I've got something cooking in my head here that I want to bring up.
It's Russ's fault.
No,
you said cooking.
I got something cooking, man. And I'm going to talk about it in the 1 o'clock hour. But right now, we got to take a sidestep here. Mike Brohard from CSURams.com going to join us next. We look forward to that conversation, all things Colorado State. But first, we'll take a short break. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1, 1310 KFKA.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Clay Millen, quarterback for the Green and Gold, and you're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Fresh off of the Mountain West Media Days, Mike Brohard joining us now from CSURams.com. Mike, just following along with you, man, I got to give you props. I loved this picture. I think you should frame it. A picture of video of a picture of a picture of Jay Norvell. You got to get that printed, put up somewhere, and signed.
You're welcome.
That's the kind of journalism that I'm in it for, right there. That was beautiful work by you.
Thank you. I thought it lets people know exactly just the depth that we go to get this kind of content. I mean, that was Brandon and Casey working really, really hard.
Oh, that was great, man. All right, so anything pop out to you about the Mountain West? You know, obviously we were all ears waiting to hear some insight on the San Diego State situation.
Yeah. I thought, you know, the Mountain West did what it could with that. I mean, the news was out there. They didn't comment on it. I talked to some people that cover San Diego State, and, you know, they got some raised eyebrows too. I mean, they're hearing all kinds of things from all different people, but I mean, it was a weird weekend because of course the Pac-12 was also in Vegas. They followed up a couple days later. I know some people over there and they're like, hey, you want to get together? I said, sure. Whenever you come pick up San Diego State, just let me know. Aha. And they laughed. But no, I mean, the one thing that the Pac-12 did not want to do is go into their media days without a media rights deal, which of course they did. So they just got so many questions over there. And of course, you know, like Brady Hoke of San Diego State, you know, he had to get asked about that. Their players got asked about it, and their players are just like, you know, I'm not even going to be here next year. So whatever happens, happens. So they get left kind of answering those questions. I thought Gloria Navarez did what she was supposed to do with that. She's like, yes, we're San Diego State's a member with us through 2023-2024. We're extremely happy to have them, which the conference should be. But I think, you know, there was the undertones of, you know, in this day and age, everybody's looking for a better deal, and I don't think anybody begrudges San Diego State looking for a better deal if they're thinking they're getting one.
No, and it's kind of that interesting line to walk, too, if you're a Mountain West coach and you're asked about the conference that you're in, but also the idea, you know, when it comes to college football or conference realignment, expansion, all that stuff, you have to walk that fine line of, no, we love the conference we're in, but, you know, I mean, if other conferences are calling, we're not going to not pick up the phone. It's a very interesting dance you have to do if you're in the Mountain West Conference or a conference similar to that.
It's just like anybody. I mean, let's say it's you. And all of a sudden, you know, you're making your $1.5 million a year where you're at right now. But somebody comes in and says, we'd like to pay you $3 million.
Yeah,
you're happy where you're at, but you'd be pretty happy over there at this other place, too. It's not just college athletics. It's everywhere. It's just the numbers are bigger in athletics in general, right? I mean, it's if you're the best CPA in Greeley, you can bounce around firms, but if you're the best center fielder in baseball, you can bounce around teams. The numbers are just bigger, right?
Yeah, no, I mean you're right. It's kind of just with anything, I suppose. You can talk about how great your situation is, but also you're not going to close any door necessarily.
No, exactly not.
Mike Brohar joining us from CSURams.com. Anything else stick out to you as far as Mount West days that raise your eyebrows? I mean, a lot of that, for the most part, from CSU, stuff that you already know, stuff that you've been covering for a while now. Maybe rarely you'll get a coach or a team say something or a player say something that might raise your eyebrows. Anything like that happen? Or was it pretty much, other than the San Diego State thing, pretty much what you'd expect from a media day?
No, I think a lot of it was standard fare. I thought all the players handled themselves really well. But Patty Turner was awesome. Tell great stories. And if you didn't catch up the fact, I mean, you've learned some things. So you're in these side shoots. And that's how we found out that he has a fear of pelicans. And it was awesome. There's no other way around it. Yes, and he went into great detail. It was great.
Now, I didn't see this story, Mike. I got to check it out. Was he attacked by a pelican at some point? What happened there?
Yes.
Wow.
Patty tells the story much better, and obviously, but the gist of it is he was 6 years old, basically like a petting zoo where you could feed things. He had the food to feed pelicans, and he's six. So when the pelican tried to snatch it from him, basically had his whole arm in his mouth.
And oh, my gosh.
Patty Turner is afraid, and I can understand. I mean, he didn't get hurt, but it stuck with him. Yeah, he's – and pelicans, they're big, yeah.
They're
bigger than people think.
So don't take him to Pelican Lakes or anything like that, Mike, okay?
I don't think he's going to be heading out there anytime soon.
I thought that was great.
So he was great, and I thought it was funny because somebody asked Jay – hey, is it good for Colorado State that Deion's at CU? And it's like, it has no effect on us. And you wonder why that would be a question that was asked. You do get to hear some of that stuff. Yeah.
All right. So I don't know if you saw Rams fans hate me now, Mike. I tweeted something out that is they really hate me. Yeah, it's bad. I suggested that it's better that CU wins their first two games, and then you're the one that knocks them off, and that's big, and Rams fans should be good with that. And no, it was – and you probably side with them, and I get it, Mike, but I was attacked. I was called names on Twitter. It was not nice.
For saying that you hoped that CU was 2-0 going into the game.
I suggested that Rams fans should be good with that. Damn near – root for that, and it was a bad the root word, I think, was a bad word to use.
Yeah, okay, so you got both sides. I see you're drawing like a really attractive picture.
Uh-huh.
Like the arrival of Deion Sanders completely turns you around.
Yes,
Boulder's going to be in a frenzy, and then we walk in and knock him off.
Yes,
yeah, I get that.
That's
it's
the
a
thing.
Beautiful story that you're, but you've also got to remember there are people around here that hope CU loses everything that
they
do in every sport.
Oh,
they hope that they lose in club men's gymnastics.
Well, that's I'm wondering if Rams fans. I'm almost wondering if there are certain Rams fans, very certain Rams fans, that if I ask them, okay, you got to pick both CSU and CU could be amazing, meaning CU is winning all their games, but CSU is too. Or the alternate is CSU's kind of like middle of the road, fine, whatever, 4-5 win team, but CSU or CU never wins again. I think some Rams fans would just vote for bad things to happen to CU no matter what happens to their own team.
You've got an interesting point here, and I don't know if you've ever seen this study, but there was a study done on this that a fan gets more satisfaction out of their rival having something really bad happen to them than their team actually winning.
Wow.
They studied this in brain activity and things like this. So you're on to something there. You really are.
Yeah.
And I know it was done in Europe, and they did it mostly, it was centered around European football clubs. So, like, if, you know, you're talking to Arsenal and Man United, whoever hates Man United, they got more joy out of seeing Man United get blank 3-0 than their team beating somebody 3-0. The reaction to it was more joyful.
Wow.
They're wildly doing something really bad than their team doing something good.
So I'm not far off there. There are probably certain Rams fans that if they had to pick between success for the Rams or just absolute utter destruction of the Buffs, they would probably vote for, hey, we just want to watch the Buffs lose. That's more fun than watching the Rams win.
Right? I guarantee you there's more than one person out there that would think that way.
Wow. I wasn't blown away by the response. I was blown away by the names. Those were kind of hurtful. But it was, you know, all I said was, hey, if you're a Rams fan, you should be rooting for the Buffs to win the first two games. That way, when you beat them, it means a little more. And oh my gosh, it was bad stuff, Mike. It was as if I just asked, you know, these people to go root for CU for the rest of their lives and become a Buffs fan and just paint, you know, get tattoos of a bison on their cheek.
So are you trying to tell me that later on this week you're going to tweet out, hey, Ram fans, wouldn't it be great if going into the border war both Wyoming and CSU won?
No, because that's different because of the conference situation, because it doesn't help the Rams. You know, if it comes down to a game between who's going to be representing either one in the Mountain West Conference Championship, you know, that could come down to a game there. If CU wins all their games, save for the one against CSU, that's only good for the Rams in the long run.
How?
Well, eventually when they're in the playoffs, all that stuff, when we look at, you know, which conference, which of the sixth conference that goes and represents gets into that playoff spot. I mean, you're looking at all the wins, the meaningful wins and all that thing. Now, I know it changes with the 12 playoff team situation now, but it only makes you better. It moves you up in the rankings, too. If you beat a good CU team as opposed to beating a bad CU team, you could crack the top 25 pretty easy if you start doing that.
You're right. You're absolutely right, and you and I both know you're right that if our win over Colorado looks much better if Colorado finishes 11-1 than
yes.
if they finish 0-12, because then it's just a win that's discounted, right?
Yeah.
So I get your point there, but still, you're trying to get CSU fans to hope for success.
Yes.
For that team down south that many of them just don't like.
Oh yeah.
And it's hard for them. See, you're using logic,
mm-hmm.
and like a lot of people try to use logic. Politicians, I'm gonna go out there with this on a limb. It doesn't always work.
Sure,
you know, you've got people want what they want, and people around here want us to win, and they want that school down south to lose at everything. They want them to lose the knowledge pool.
That's true, man. I mean, that's 100% right. And I've always, like, and I had a bunch of Rams fans, Brady, you don't get the rivalry. I'm like, dude, I born and raised in Colorado. I get the rivalry. I didn't go to either of those schools, but I get the rivalry. I grew up more of a, hey, it's the Rocky Mountain Showdown. It's CSU and CU. Can't, hope it's a good game. I grew up more in that world rather than I'm picking my team and this is it. I wasn't one of those growing up. I was a fan of both teams, if I can be fair. I really was.
Yeah, okay. So when I was a journalist, impartial, still covering CSU, but still impartial. And if you ask me, and if I talk to high school coaches, which I had done at times, they will tell you this, state of football in Colorado is much better if both of those teams are having success.
Yeah.
Because then it does bleed down into the high school programs. Okay? So we're all that's fine. I understand that. It creates more awareness. More kids want to play football. They want to stay in state and play for those teams because they're good. You know, Nebraska doesn't come in throughout the 2000s, early 2000s, and take the top player out of Colorado every year. No, there's pride. They want to play at CU. They want to play at CSU, right? So, but even in those days, you're trying to explain this to fans. You're using this logic to fans. And the last thing you should ever use with fans is logic. They don't care. They don't care. They don't care, honestly, that it could bleed down and that football at the high school level on the front range gets so much better. And instead of having 4 3 stars in the state of Colorado every year, now we're having 10 to 15, and then that keeps growing. It doesn't matter.
Oh, I know. I learned.
CSU, you need to win. Life is good. Sun comes up. It never rains in California.
Mike, I asked a question, I think it was last year, I think. I had some fun with this when I asked Rams fans if they would rather, again, got to pick between these two crazy scenarios. You win all three of your rivalry games, CU, Wyoming, and Air Force, but you lose the rest. Or the opposite, you win every game except for your three rivalry games. And I think that some logics kind of came into play there, because I want to say it was like 60% or so said that they would rather win all their games knowing that what that meant. But then, you know, 40%, 45% were like, no, I don't care if we lose every game as long as we just win the rivalry games. I understand it. I'm more about like overall success, and I want to beat rivals. I do. But I would just be more about the overall success of your team. If you're winning 8 to 9 to 10 games every year, but you're losing to your rivals, you're still like one of the really good football teams in the country.
Okay, but you're playing with fire, Brady, and that's why you're doing this on purpose.
Oh, yeah.
You know both situations are bad in one way or the other.
It's true.
There's no. If you win every game, except for the three rivals, and it's two. It's Air Force and Wyoming every year. We don't play Colorado every year. We'll start doing that, right? But let's say we'll throw Colorado in there. That means we are 9-3 every year. Right?
Yeah.
We're going to a bowl game every year, but we are never going to win a Mountain West championship. We're probably not going to play for a Mountain West title. And eventually, that coach gets fired.
Because you can only lose, like, realistically, what? You can only lose, like, one conference game. Is that kind of what you're thinking?
I think in this formula, the way they got it set up,
yeah,
you could lose one. Two is going to be really hard to make the conference championship game in. I don't know. We'll see how this plays out. I think it'll be difficult if you lose two to even appear in the conference championship game. So, right? So you lose that. And obviously, if you've lost, if one of your two losses is probably to Air Force in Wyoming, there's probably a decent likelihood you're playing one of those teams in the conference championship. And then if your formula holds true, we don't win that. So we still don't win the conference title, right?
So you're telling me I need to get more detail to my formula here.
No. I'm telling you, I'm telling you, you know purposely you were picking two evils and trying to dress them up. You're putting lipstick on a pig. Two pigs. Trying to make it, and you're trying to play people against each other, and it's just not nice. But the thing is like, look at Frank Solich at Nebraska. I mean, he won 9 games every year, and they fired him because it wasn't good enough, right? But you got to beat your rivals. Eventually, you got to beat your rivals. What was the knock on Bobo when, before they went to the 3-9 skid is, hey, great, we're going to bowl games. Why can't you beat Wyoming and Air Force?
Sure.
You know, why can't you do that? And that's what they want their cake and they want to eat it too, which is a stupid saying for me to say because I never understood it. Because anybody who's ever had a cake really expects to eat it. Right?
I'm with you. That saying has bothered me for
my
years.
My mom used to say that all the time, and it drove me nuts because it's like, yeah, you give me cake, I'm eating it. It's mine, right?
Well, yeah, what else am I supposed to do with a cake? Of course I'm going to eat it. What else do I do with it?
Yeah, I mean, I'll share it with my friends, but I'm taking the biggest piece, darn it.
Yeah.
And I want the one, the corner piece with the most frosting. But anyway, what you really want is, if you're losing to your rivals all the time, you're going to have a section of your fan base that's not going to be happy, even if you're going to bowl games every year. And you're not going to win a conference championship, which is really what the ultimate goal should be.
What
you
if
want to win your conference title?
What if I
and
paint this?
Both of your scenarios doesn't allow you to do that.
Here's a more detailed scenario. Regular season, you lose your rival games in the regular season. However, I'm trying to figure out you are good enough to make it.
You can't write this question up and have it sit on Twitter. You've already ran out of characters.
It would be too. It's okay. Basically, would you rather be a Mountain West champ or beat your rivals? Which one? Like, in a scenario that works out that way. And I bet you a lot of Rams fans will be like, I don't care if we win three, as long as it's the most important three. And I don't know why they sound like that suddenly, but that's,
Brady,
that's what
the
I hear.
When's the last time we won a conference championship from football?
Oh, gosh. With the last, like, the actual Mountain West championship? When is that time, Mike? Ever?
Yes. 2002.
Okay.
So, no, I think, I guarantee you, if you put that poll out there, would you rather beat your rivals or win the Mountain West Championship this year in football? I'm going to guess people would rather win the conference title.
I hope so. Okay. Word that again, Mike. I'm writing it down.
That's what you have to do. Would you rather win the Mountain West Conference Championship or lose to your rivals? Is that the way it is?
Yeah.
Or beat your
rivals if you had to pick between the two. Would you rather win the Mountain West Conference Championship or just your rivals?
Yeah. So, and I think people would take the Mountain West Conference Championship because it's been so long since they've won one, right? Those are the things. I mean, that's what the athletic program is striving to achieve for every year, is you want to be able to say that we're competitive in every sport in the Mountain West that we compete in, and that means we're finishing in the top three, which makes us competitive. But the ultimate goal is you want to be in the conference championship. You want to win conference championships. And, you know, you've seen the volleyball team did it for just stretches and stretches of years, right? And then Brian Bedard and his track program was phenomenal. You know, Ryan Williams has won a couple in the past decade, right? You know, you want to – those are the things that you want to do. That's the pinnacle. That's how we grade ourselves against our peers in the Mountain West. That's what we want. And so what we want sometimes is maybe a little bit different than what the fan base wants.
I'm going to ask that question, Mike, and if people come at me, I'm going to expect you to defend my honor on Twitter.
I defend you all the time, but again, like I said, you asked an unfair question where you grab two pigs and put lipstick on them, and that's an impossible situation question.
Oh, it's
because,
fun.
In my opinion, because no good comes out of either one of them.
I mean, that's the beauty of the question, though, right? Is it's right, you got to determine the lesser of the two evils,
right? And you got to see what it was. I mean, what pretty much the show, The Black Mirror, pretty much dealt with six seasons of. Let's put people in awful situations and see which one you think is the lesser of two evils.
So the new season of Black Mirror is going to be all based on CSU and all these crazy scenarios that I'm pointing.
Have you ever seen the show?
I haven't yet. I have it on the list. I do have it on the list.
A lot of things are based off social media reaction and how people do it, and it does. It can hit kind of close to home. See, like, all these people hurt your feelings by calling you bad names.
Yeah, they those were mean. I mean,
you probably needed an extra Coors Kool-Aid therapy.
You know, I used to get more upset about it, but now I'm kind of like, you know, it's fun. Maybe I am a clown. There were some other names in there too, but it was fun. It was a good time.
Did they use the clown emoji?
They used a GIF of a clown, which made it hurt a little more because I'm like, that really paints the picture there. So it was mean.
Maybe they should have gone back and used the Bryce Harper. That's a clown question, bro, and that's what that was.
We all play our part, Mike, and you play it well too. You play your part, and that's given us the rundown on all things CSU. What do you have for us at CSURams.com?
Well, let's get excited about it because next week camp opens, right?
Yeah,
you got another week where you can go out and you can trim the hedges and you can get that honey-do list that your wife has been asking you to do for a while. Because August 4th, we're going to start practicing some football.
It's go time, man.
For that first game on September 2nd.
Yeah, get that list taken care of.
Mine's done.
So you're ready to rock and roll. I mean, the season's – you took your vacation a couple weeks ago. It's go time now for you.
I went to New York. Yes, I went to New York and had my eyes open to a whole new world.
Did you really? What happened out there?
I was just – it's completely different way of life than anything I'd ever experienced. I thought it was cool. I went to a Yankee game, and I went to Citi Field. And Citi Field, I irritated a Yankee fan, the lifelong Yankee fan, by telling them Citi Field is better than Yankee Stadium.
Mm.
The food's better.
You got in trouble out there, huh? So you're trying to cause some trouble, too.
I just, yeah, I stated the truth, though. I didn't dress up too big. I just told them the truth. The food is better at Citi Field. And Yankee Stadium, I understand what they did. They basically rebuilt old Yankee Stadium and made it new and tried to give it some upgrades. I still don't like my favorite part of Canvas Stadium, you and I have talked about this. If you walk around the concourse at Canvas Stadium, you can still see the field all the time. You can't see that at Yankee Stadium.
Mm.
That bothers me. Trying to get that old field in. And even though you got the monuments in center field, the place loses a little bit of its charm because that is not the house that Ruth built. That's not where Lou Gehrig played. That's not where Mickey Mantle played. No, that place was, it's now a parking lot. So it loses kind of, that's, I mean, people deal with, I think, Wrigley Field and Fenway Park. I mean, if you talk to even diehard fans, they'll go, yeah, our stadium is not the nicest, but, you know, Ted Williams played here.
Yeah, at least you can.
It's cool. Yeah. It's history.
Sure.
I mean, Fenway Park is dripping with history. And it's dripping with a lot of other things that you don't want to know what they are. But you kind of let things drip and you deal with it because some of it's kind of cool, right?
I get it. Hey, Coors Field, I mean, they're dripping with something over there.
Coors Field, it's yeah, Colorado Kool-Aid. And it's, I mean, it's a beautiful place. You just can't deny it. I mean, Coors Field is awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, my youngest daughter, who went to both of these parks with me, she's like, she's been to a bunch of places, and she loves Coors Field. She goes, this is just the greatest place. And it also might have been because, like, I was taking her at a young age, and it had a playground. And
oh,
so that's
yeah.
How that's how I taught my kids to stay through nine innings.
And now, so, as adults, we just have a different kind of playground. It's right, the party so deck.
It's like in the fifth inning, I would let them go play at the playground because I could still see the game. Right?
Yeah.
And then seventh inning, I promised them dessert, whether it be Dippin' Dots or cotton candy or whatever it was that they chose that they wanted. And then they were eating that for the final couple innings, and then we could go.
And now,
and I never have my kids going, when can we leave?
And now
they always have something to look forward to.
A lasting impression, and now they wonder why they like Rockies games, and that's why. Mike Brohard, appreciate you, my friend. I'm putting that poll question up, and be ready. We'll see what happens.
Are you blaming me for it?
No, I won't tag you. I won't do that to you, unless you want me to.
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
I mean, you want to drag me down in your personal...
My own personal hell. Mike Brohard, appreciate you.
I didn't know I could say that word on your show, so I was trying to be nice.
You can say it. We'll let it go. We're controversial here. You can say it. Hey, I'm looking forward to see you out at practice, man. Can't wait for us to start up here. It'll be fun.
Right, bright and early in the morning. Bring me coffee.
I will. You know what? Consider it done. Mike Brohard, CSURams.com. 12:47 the time. Let's jump out real quick, Angel, and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Clay Millen, quarterback for the Green and Gold, and you're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The time. I'm well overdue here. Great conversation with Mike Brohard. Always love catching up with him. I never know where those conversations are going to go. But now we got to catch up with the clock. But before we do that, I want to tell you about Hikes Ace Hardware. They're veteran and locally owned, Greeley's original hardware location since 1954. They offer true customer service with one-on-one help as soon as you walk through the front door. That's Hikes Ace Hardware. In Greeley, 1722 9th Street. Give them a buzz today if you want to call about anything. See what they might have in the store before you go. 970-353-1416. 12:50 the time. Let's take a quick break. It's the whole show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The Joker gets the last laugh. The Nuggets are the champs. Celebrate with us on KFKA.
This is Brian Howell, Colorado Buffalo's beat writer for the Buff Zone, and you are listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Okay, so Angel, I'm just going to only ask you about 30 more times on this. With the new college football playoffs that we have with 12, with ultimately what it's going to be, 12 teams, right? It's going to be six conference champs and then basically six somewhat at large, correct? It's kind of how we're doing this. This is why I'm saying, and again, to reiterate the old conversation from last week, beating good teams, like if CU's good and you beat them, that helps you ultimately if you want to get into the playoffs.
Yeah, so the field will comprise the selection committee's sixth highest-ranked conference champions and its next sixth highest-ranked teams.
Correct. So
the four highest-ranked conference champions will earn the top seeds and a first-round bye. The other eight teams will play in first-round games, higher seeds hosting at their campus.
Which is why everything makes sense for, ultimately, if you're CSU, you want to beat the good teams. Because whether you get in as a champ, because if you look at the sixth conference championship, that's going to be determined by the strength of that conference.
Right.
That's how they're going to look at that. Oh, this was a really good conference. There was a lot of conference teams that beat a lot of Power Five conference teams as well.
It's a group of five conference spot, basically.
All of that is going. So the more success you can have in your regular season is why. This is why, Rams fans, you root for CU to win your first two. Now, again, I know it's the 12. It's not going to happen yet. We're not in that mode yet. We're still in the four-team playoff, but
this is where it starts.
You want to get how about this? Easy. You want to be a top 25 team or not? If you're going to be a top 25 team, then your wins need to mean something.
Yep.
You can't be beating, you know, little Sally over here that's losing by 67 points every game. And, oh, great, you beat CU. They got killed by TCU in Nebraska. That win does nothing for you then. But if CU beats TCU in Nebraska, oh, CSU's 1-0, 2-0, 3-0. Oh, they lost one game this year. And because of all those big-time wins in the first half of the season in the non-conference games, oh, they're 19th in the country.
If CSU can consistently find themselves within the top 20 for the future, if that's going to be the base of your program, you're going to have a shot at the playoff every year. Those top 20 teams, it's going to depend on how the seeding works out and the conference champions and all that. But if you're in the top 20, you got a good shot.
Yeah, and if you're CSU in the Mountain West Conference, going, what do they play, 11 regular season games? Going 10-1 isn't always going to help you if you're just, if all those wins are just against your conference teams and then two of them are against one's Middle Tennessee and one's a bad CU team. No one's going to look at that and go, yeah, look at the strength of schedule there, man. No, they're in the Mountain West. We're not putting them in the playoffs. You're going to have to win big games. That's what it's all about. Logic is stepping in here on this poll, though. 100% saying Mountain West Championship. Although you got Mike coming in with Logic. Probably have to beat Air Force and Wyoming to win the Mountain West Conference. The question is hypothetical. Would you rather win a Mountain West Championship or just beat your rivals? That's it. You got to pick between the two. All right. Final hour of the program coming up next.